God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We fight Friday the 8th of June 2018. And it was on my heart to share again about healing, because it's so important that we receive what God has already made available for us. And in the last couple of teachings I've done on the website, we looked at healing. And the title of those teachings are titled, Healing is for You Right Now, and How to Manifest Your Healing that Christ has Accomplished for You. So we have to understand that this healing has already been accomplished, it's already been paid for, and it's legally yours. See, everything that we have in Christ has been brought for, and we are righteous, we're justified, we're sanctified, we're redeemed, we have the rights to healing, we have the rights to God's provision, and it's already ours, it's legally ours, because Christ has paid for it. We're under no rule of the enemy, no more. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, we've been set free, and all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. And how we receive these things is by faith. So according to God's word, you're not going to be healed sometime in the future, because you're already healed right now. And that's the real truth of the things. And we need to get this concept and understanding in our hearts and minds as believers, that we are already healed right now, regardless of how we're feeling, what we're going through, what situations are trying us, that Christ has already paid for this. And we need to receive it into manifestation. So we have to remember, number one, our healing has already been paid for. And it's by the stripes of Jesus Christ that you were healed. He took the beatings. He went through the sufferings. He shed his blood for our sins. His body was whipped and bruised for our healing, so that we can have everything that God has made available, and what God wants each of us to manifest in our life. And we receive it by faith. And it's through the accomplished and finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ. So knowing that healing is available to us, we need to recognize how to receive what is rightfully ours. And how we receive anything from God which is rightfully ours is received by faith. So we need to come to the Word. We need to know what has been done. And we need to understand what's been made available so we can make a claim on what's available. If you don't know what's available, how are you going to claim it? We know in Hosea 4:6 it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God was talking about his people. They're destroyed through a lack of knowledge. And it's not a lack of knowledge of this world's wisdom, but it's a lack of knowledge of God's wisdom. It's a lack of knowledge of knowing what Christ actually accomplished, what he went through, and what is rightfully ours. And so the adversary here is still kill and destroy in areas that we're not clued up on. And God wants you in the know. He doesn't want you to be ignorant. He's given us the spirit and wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we set our minds on his truth, and then we take a stake and a claim on the promises, and we know how to receive them, then we will absolutely manifest our healing. I want to look at a couple of records that you already know, and I've covered many times before, but it's important that we go to them. And in Hebrews 11:1 it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we may not see this healing right now. We may not see abundance right now. But our faith says we already had it, because we know it's, we already have it, because we know it's already accomplished in Christ. We know it's already been done. And we receive what we can't see right now. Faith says, I have it now. So your faith in the promises of God and understanding what God's done for you through Christ says that you're healed right now, even if you don't see it right now. The truth is, you are healed. Let's take it further. Mark 11:22 to 24 really helps us to understand what is being said in Hebrews 11:1. And Mark 11:22, let's go there. It says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or literally, have the faith of God. For verily, verse 23, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, or problem, or situation, or sickness, or lack, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So number one, we got to speak to the problem. We got to speak to that mountain that's in front of us. We got to speak to the sickness. We got to speak to the lack. If we're lacking healing, we got to speak to that lack and tell it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. We tell it what to do. We tell it to be removed and to get out of our lives, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, what you got to believe what you're saying. You can't just mouth it off. It's got to be in your heart. And the way it gets in your heart is by meditating upon that word and saying that word to yourself, and getting a reality of what the truth is actually saying to us. Getting it in the depths of there and saying it out of our mouth. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says. So you've got to believe the word, and you've got to believe what's coming out of your mouth. And you've got to believe it's going to come to pass. Jesus said, if you do it with that heart, with that mindset, then you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray. So when we pray to God, there's a right way to pray to God. And we pray what his promises says. We pray our desire. Okay, we tell God our desire. Okay, and then we believe that we've received them. And then we shall have them. Then we're going to manifest them. So what we're praying for, God says, or Jesus, God by way of Jesus Christ is saying to us, whatever you're praying for, guys, believe you already got it. It's a done deal. God says your healing is a done deal. God says your finances is a done deal. God says your relationships restored is a done deal. Okay, you have great authority. As believers, we have great authority in Christ. And these are the keys of the kingdom that we can use and that we can apply. And it's the word of God which is living and abiding forever. This word of God is a living word, a force that goes into operation when we release it from our mouth, from a heart filled of believing of it. So God has not only made all provisions for you, but he's also shown us from the scriptures how we should go about receiving his provision. See, our spiritual bank account has great wealth. It has all the resources of God. All the wealth you desire, all the health you desire, every need that you have. God's bank isn't busted, and God's bank is overflowing with the resources that we need so that we can walk before him and live this life as super conquerors in every situation. That we can be the head and not the tail. That we can be the lender and not the borrower. That we can be the examples of life and living. So this wealth and health is for every believer, and for everyone that believes, that goes to God, that turns to God. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And we have access to this great wealth by faith. Okay, the currency of heaven is faith, and faith in God's promises to us. So if it's not available, we can't receive it, right? So we've got to find out what's available to us. I've covered this in other teachings that you can find on the website and on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, how to receive what God has made available. See, we need to find out what God says is ours. We need to understand that we are seated at the right-hand side of God in Christ Jesus. We need to keep these truths living in our heart, not just as knowledge, but as living and real to us. So instead of imprinting in your mind your sickness and your disease, your lack or your problem, okay, we need to embed in our minds what has been done for us by God through the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. If we're feeding on the world, then we're going to become a full of worry. We're going to become filled of fear. We're going to become confused because what the world says is in contrast to what God is saying to us. And we don't want to operate in our old man nature, because we got a new man nature in us. It's called Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that's fed by the word of God, as well as us speaking in tongues and operating in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 23:7 it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking about yourself? Okay, how do you look at the things? Do you look at the things from your perspective, the world's perspective? Or do we look at the things from God's perspective? See, what we constantly think about becomes a part of our belief system. And that's what becomes imprinted in our minds. And we become what we think, and we will talk and we will think what we believe, and we will talk what we believe. Again, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And like I've shared in my faith and confession seminar, you'll believe your words more than you believe somebody else's words. So when you got God's word in your heart and your mouth, and you're saying the word of God to yourself, it really gets into that heart. I know through my own practice, it gets into your heart, and faith comes to you, energy comes. Because this word is quick and it's living, it's energy. So faith comes when we hear the word of God and what God has to say about our situations. And then we can start acting and we can start claiming what is rightfully ours. See, as we meditate on what God says, our faith becomes strong. And then we need to come into agreement with God by saying what God says about our situation. We need to forget what other people have said about our health, about our wealth, about our relationships. And we need to know what God says about our health, our wealth, and our relationships. We need to believe that more than any other thing that is coming at us. And if we are dwelling on situations that have happened to us in the past, if we have unforgiveness in our heart, if we have aught against a brother, it affects your faith. And all these things can be hindrances to you receiving what God's got for you, because you know, you become carnal minded, and God doesn't want us to be carnal minded. He wants us to be spiritually minded, and we're to walk with that mind, our mind of Christ. And so when we got problems, when situations come, it affects our emotions, and our emotions affect our health. And we have to remember that we're body, soul, and spirit, and your body is subject to your mind, and from the mind comes these feelings and these emotions. And these feelings and emotions are strong, they're really strong, and they affect the way we think, and that determines how we speak and act. So God says that we're to control our thinking, that we're to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says that we're to cast down imaginations and thoughts and every high thing that lifts itself against the knowledge of God, and that we're to bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, we're not healed by how we feel or by our emotions, but emotions can play a strong part in keeping you where you are in your situation. We are not healed because the pain is gone. A lot of people have heard that saying, and it's true. You're not healed because the pain is gone. We are healed because Jesus Christ has paid for that healing. And that's what we hold on to. The adversary and the God of this world wants you focused on your circumstances, okay, but God wants you focused on his promises and what's already been done to you. And when we keep our eyes on God, when we keep our eyes on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we can overcome every situation that comes against us. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. We need to declare God's word out of our mouth. You know, when I wake up in the morning now, my confession is, Father, I thank you, there's no condemnation to me. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law and sin and death. I thank you that I am healthy. I thank you that I am prosperous. I thank you I have great relationships. I thank you that I am blessed when I come in, when I go out, when I lie down, when I rise up. I thank you that I'm blessed in the fruit of my body. I thank you for all your promises, which are yes in Christ and amen. And I thank you that they're mine. I thank you it's already a done deal, that I'm growing in your grace and favor in the sight of you and man. See, we need to get God's word living and real in our heart. We need to make our confession and our speech word orientated. And as we set our minds on God and to keep him first in our life, as we're looking only to God, then our words will be word orientated. Our words will be words of life, words of power, words of energy, changing the matter around us, because we're saying what God says. So this is already a spiritual reality that we're healed, and it's a done deal with God, and we receive the manifestation of this healing by coming to agreement with the truths that we are healed. And as we hold fast to the confession of our faith and what we believe according to the word, which are the promises of God, okay, we will begin to manifest what is already spiritually accomplished for us, and it becomes manifest. At some point it will manifest. You will have what you say. So whatever you're saying now, about your situations, whether it's sickness, whether it's lack of energy, lack of provision, whatever the need that you have. If you're saying that rather than what God says, then you're going to have more of the same. But if you get the word of God in your heart, and you say what God says, and you believe it in your heart and you doubt not, then you'll start to manifest all the goodness of God that is legally yours, accomplished through the finished works of Jesus Christ, okay? So what you believe, you will say and do. Okay, what you think in your heart, you're going to talk about, and what you think in the heart will also direct your steps. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." So the question to ask ourselves is, what do I truly believe? Okay, so there's one thing knowing what the Word of God says, and there's another thing believing it. I mean, do I really believe I was healed by his stripes, or do I just have that knowledge that I was healed by his stripes and not really coming into agreement with it by my thoughts and my confessions and my actions? And that's the difference. You know, we can have a knowledge of these things, but whether we truly believe it, if we truly believe it, we will be speaking that way, acting that way, thinking that way. We won't allow those negative thoughts to come in. Oh, they'll try to come, those negative thoughts. They really will try and come. But that's when we cast down those imaginations. And that's when we prove the word works to ourselves. We prove what we understand. We prove what the word of God says by the, you know, applying it in our lives. And the way we truly apply it is not just by acting, it's by saying as well. And we synchronize our body, soul, and spirit to the truth of the word of God. And it takes practice. We're growing. We don't know everything. Okay, we see through a glass darkly right now. But what we can know, we should find out, and then we should walk in those truths. See, another thing is that we don't deny that we have a problem. A lot of people says, no, I'm completely healed, and you can see they're in pain, and they're not really believing it. They're saying that if they say it, they think that if they say it that way, they're going to be all right. But it's really that, it's not that we deny what problem we have, but we just don't pay attention to it. We don't give our focus to it. Okay, we give our attention to what God says about our situation, and then we come into agreement with what God says, regardless of how the situation looks. And we know that it's the introduction of light. See, it's the introduction of the light that dispels darkness. Let's go to Psalms 119, and we'll have a look in there. So Psalms 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." See, when we start to declare God's word, then understanding can come, faith can rise. And I want to share a couple of testimonies with you right now, with people that had situations, people that I know, people that you also may know as well. I'm not going to mention their names. It's a great testimony which I was a part of. And 1 year we had a believer that was coming to visit us. But before that believer was actually coming to visit us, they were cooking in the kitchen, and they was using a pressure cooker. And this pressure cooker exploded, and all the juice that was in the pressure cooker, all the liquid in there, was boiling hot and burnt this person's face. And they were like third degree burns. And so this person's family member called me and encouraged me to encourage the person that was coming to come, because they weren't going to come because of what was happening on their face. And they didn't go to the doctor or anything like that. And I was thinking, maybe it's not as serious as what is being told me, because they're still planned on sending this person to come and visit us. And but I came into agreement, and then I encouraged this person and encouraged them to come and to maybe wear some sunglasses to cover up, you know, this mark on her face. I thought this mark was a small mark. Anyway, when this person arrived, they come through the door and they had the sunglasses on, and my heart was really going out to them. And then I asked to have a look, and after a bit of persuading, they took the sunglasses off, and when me and Kim looked, we were like, oh, that's nothing, you know, that's not too bad, that's hardly anything. And then when she went upstairs with suitcase, Kim turned and said to me, that's third-degree burns. I said, yeah, but they've got faith that she's healed. And she has faith also. She's being encouraged. So we speak God's word and we encourage her. Don't look at the situation. And Kim, you know, being a nurse, knew the severity of what actually happened to her, to this person's face. And anyway, so we just encouraged, and she was encouraged. And after a couple of days, she came out of the bathroom, and she was using moisturizer on the skin, and all this damage to her face was coming off, and the skin underneath was baby, like baby, new baby skin. And by the time she left, it was nearly all gone. She stayed with us a week, and then she went to another country to visit other believers, and she was nearly completely done. And it was a great eye-opener, because they didn't confess what they saw. They didn't look at the situation, but they said what God says. Their eyes were focused on God. And believe me, that was enough to put you off, no focusing on God. It was enough to keep your mind on, is this recovering? And it just really blew me away. And God is just so faithful, and his word works. And, you know, God goes to work for us when we believe. And then the other person I'll speak about is my wife, actually. I will mention her because she's my wife. She's a part of my life. I've been with her over 30 years now. And I can remember a time when we first began as believers together. And just before I met Kim, from a young baby, from 18 months old, she suffered with blood clots in her legs. Her vein, her arteries in her legs were small, so the blood that was going through them would clot up, and then she'd have these big hematomas in her leg. And she had many operations, and when I met her, she probably already had about 18 operations. And me being with her at that time, she already had two or three operations while I was with her, because they kept reoccurring. And one of these times, she had a big lump come up in her leg, and we were learning about healing, and she was actually teaching that night in the fellowship on being thankful. I never forget this. And after everyone went, she kept a great face. You wouldn't think anything was wrong, but she was in great pain even through the teaching. And when everyone left, she went upstairs, and I said, "Oh, you're right, love. Is everything okay?" She goes, "I got a lump come up in my leg," and it was like a big man's fist inside her leg pushing out the skin. And I said, "Well." And all, we didn't know to command then, we just knew to pray. I said, "Well, do you want me to pray for it to be healed and to vanish?" She said, "No, I want you to pray that it comes out, that it bursts, because I don't know where all that fluid inside is going to go." And I thought it was kind of strange of how she thought about it, but that's where her faith was, that's what she wanted to happen. So I just prayed, and I said, "Father, I just thank you that all this fluid, that this will pop and the fluid will be released so that she's not in pain." And anyway, so this is what we prayed, and I went to sleep. I don't know if she went to sleep, but I know in the morning she woke me up, and she said, "Oh no," she said, "that what you prayed for has happened. It's all burst." And she's never had one of those bursts either. And but everything that was coming out was gangrene. You know, it was infection coming out. And so we had the doctor come in, and they were coming in week after week, and this went on for months, because she had a big hole in her leg, and they were packing it tight with gauze and, you know, cleaning it out and then packing it tight and then bandaging it up. And every day she would have to have this changed twice. And this went on for months and months, and it looked like nothing was going to happen, because it was just taking so long, and there wasn't much... there wasn't much progress within the healing of her leg. And so after about two or three months of this being done, and she didn't even go to the hospital, they just had the doctor come round, and because they knew her history, they just had, you know, a nurse come out to address this. And so it came about that my minister at the time, he was going to London to run a class, a foundational class for some Zairean believers that were living in the area of Thamesmead in London. And he said to us, "You know, you guys need to come." And we said, "Well, we can't, because she has the nurse coming in every day." He said, "Well, can't you speak to your nurse and your doctors to see if they can arrange someone to come see you while we're away, but it's good that you come. So we got that organised, and God made a way for us where another nurse from the Thamesmead district will come and look at Kim's leg. Well, anyway, we were there, and Kim was able to walk and everything, and but the nurse didn't turn up to do Kim's leg, and we totally forgot all about it because we were having great fellowship, we was running this class, we was receiving the word of God, we were so blessed, and she didn't even have to think about changing the bandage or nothing come to her mind on it. And that was from Friday all the way to Monday morning, and we drove back to Bristol, and as soon as we walked through the front door, she remembered the problems. All she done was walk through the front door. Oh, my leg. And as quick as that, being back in the environment where it happened brought back to her memory what was wrong. And then so she took her jeans off, and I helped her and take her jeans off, and then we just undone the bandage, and the galls that were packed in that hole were sitting nicely on top of the wound, and the wound was healed over. She was completely healed over that weekend, and she had checks and all that stuff, and everything was fine. So getting your mind off the situation is a big thing. Getting out of your environment. Your environment may keep reminding you of your problem, right? So your focus is more on your problem than the truth of the word of God. So sometimes to get away, if you're going through a situation right now, you're sick, or you've been, you know, you have some elements and stuff like that, get away, get out of your environment, just go and be with God, start confessing his word, start getting the truth in his word. This might help someone, you know, it might help all of you, it might help one person, but it certainly helped us when we got out of our environment and what we've been stuck in month after month, day after day, with this situation going on. But she was completely healed in the word of God and the fellowship, and bang, her mind was off it, her mind was focused on God, and everything was back to normal. So that was one testimony that God reminded me today to share, because it's very powerful. So we don't claim anything that we may be experiencing as our own. This is another downfall that I've heard a lot of believers say, or people say when I minister them. So, you know, we got to watch our confession. We don't want to claim something that has no legal right in our lives. But we do just that when we say things like, oh, it's my asthma, it's my back problem, it's my weak bladder, it's my high blood pressure, it's my sickness, it's my bad knee, it's my bad leg, it's my bad ear, it's my bad eye, it's my bad chest, it's my arthritis. See, who says it's yours? It's not yours. It's not yours, it comes from the enemy, right? And he's put it on you, and you've accepted it as yours. You need to give it back to where it come from. And I've no saying that to a few people I've ministered to through the years. More than five or six people I've said this to. They've said, oh, it's my situation, or this is what's going on. I said, no, it's not yours. You give it back to where it come from. It doesn't belong to you. Don't claim it as yours. Don't say it's yours, because you're claiming it. And then it becomes you. See, the adversary puts lying symptoms on you. You like to, you know, like you might have a sign of a bad stomach, say, and you think, oh no, or I got a cold coming, or I got the flu. And as soon as you say, oh, I got the flu, then it becomes yours. But when you recognize it as lying symptoms and you refuse to receive it, then it ain't going to take a hold on you. And I've proved that in my life too, and I know other believers have done the same. So whatever is going on, it's not yours. You tell it to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ. You tell your sickness, your disease, your lack, or whatever it is, it has no authority to be there, because Christ has already set you free. And so these truths, we just need to get into our hearts and minds. And I'm just sharing these things, so I want to encourage you that really, that you are healed. And these things can help you get you to the place to receive what is rightfully yours. So by saying it's yours, you're claiming it as your own. And it's not yours, it's the devil's, because that's where it come from in the beginning. It never belonged to you, but if you accept it as yours, then it stays yours. So how we change this around is by saying that the promises of God and God's provision is ours. Okay? So, you know, don't forget, you have to believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass. You say and believe it in your heart and you doubt not. That is what you can say. And this is what you can say here. I was healed by the stripes of Christ. I was redeemed from the curse of the law. I was redeemed from lack and poverty. I am free from any condemnation. I am not condemned to be sick or stay sick, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law and sin and death. So these wonderful confessions you can say because they're truths. And you need to say these to yourself. And the more you say it, the more it gets into your heart, the more you're going to believe what you're saying when you speak them forth. It's not just going to be a knowledge of it. It's going to be living and real in your heart and to you. And to understand about this condemnation, I'm talking about the condemnation that come in to the world through the fall of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, what come into the world was sickness, disease, death, lack, poverty. Sickness leads to death, right? That's what passed to all men. Okay, but Jesus Christ has redeemed us from that. He's brought this back. He's brought life back, how God originally designed things, and to even a greater extent. So let's have a look at some of the scriptures and get them established in our hearts and minds. See, there is one thing, knowing what God says, but it's truly another believing it in the depths of our heart to the point we say it with faith. And this is the point I'm trying to get over. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, a lot of you already may know these verses, but that's great. Let's remind ourselves. You can never get enough of God's word. Okay, 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self, that's Jesus Christ, bared our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. See, it's already been accomplished in Christ. Your healing is already yours. Now to receive it, you receive it by faith. You receive it by believing the promises of God to you and what Christ has accomplished for you. In Galatians 3:13 it says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So the curse went on to him, not on to us. And the law here is talking about the law of Moses, which we'll look at in a minute. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He took our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So thank God we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Okay, but we have not been redeemed from the blessings. Praise God. See, a lot of people think they've been redeemed from the blessings. But no, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and the blessings of God in Christ are yours. Okay, so it's just really, really wonderful. Let's have a look at Romans. And I'm going to reiterate what I said earlier on about this condemnation. See, the condemnation that it talks about in Romans 8:1 is talking about what passed upon all men through the fall of Adam and Eve. And we need to get this understood, because in Romans 8, there's three laws mentioned. It's talking about the law of Moses, it's talking about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and it's talking about the law of sin and death. And so, when we look at, when it says about the law, we need to understand what law is it. Is it the law of Moses? Is it the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Or is it the law of sin and death, right? So in Romans 8, 1-2 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation, okay, to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law, verse 2, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You've been set free, guys. If you're in Christ, which you are, because you've got the Spirit of Christ in you, okay, then you activate this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus by saying what God says, by speaking God's word from your mouth, by declaring his truth, by giving voice to the word of God, and saying what God is putting in your heart to say, that your words are word-orientated, that is godly speech is words of life and it's not words of death. Okay, we activate the promises of God and we activate this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has made us free from the law and sin and death. So like when someone gets sick, when a believer gets sick, you'll find them quoting the promises of God from the Bible, the promises on healing. Why? What happens when they do this? They begin to activate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus when they're confessing and saying the word. So it's important that you understand this point. And this is why I'm just taking a little bit more time just to point it out, and I'm reiterating and going over it. Because we, you know, the more you say it, the more it's going to get into the heart, the more understanding you get about it. And I encourage you to read the whole sections of Romans 8. It talks about the carnal mind, it talks about the spiritual mind, there's life and peace. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is activated. See, when we talk worry, fear, doubt, sickness, we're activating that law and sin and death which we're not under, which we've been redeemed from. In Romans 5, let's have a look at Romans 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not counted where there is no law." Verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitudes of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come." Verse 15. "But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead," that's Adam, "much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many." Verse 16. "And not as is it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification." Verse 17. "For if by one man offence death reigned by one," which was Adam, so when he sinned, death began to reign, then it says, "much more they which received an abundance of grace," see, we've received an abundance of grace, "and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." See, we will reign through Jesus Christ, through what he's done for us, for what he's accomplished for us. We're not under the old sentence of death now. We've been redeemed back. We've been blood brought by Jesus Christ. Okay, and now we should reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And we reign in life when we understand who we are and what we have and what's been accomplished, and our sonship rights, and what's rightfully and legally ours. Romans 5:18 says, "Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation," that was through Adam, "even so the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life." And we receive that by faith. We receive that by saying Jesus is Lord, and believing in our hearts God raised him from the dead. We didn't work for that. Jesus Christ paid the lot. We just received it by faith. And it's like any other promise of God. We receive it the same way as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord. And then we start to line up our hearts, our confession, and our minds with the Spirit of God. And we say what God says. And then we start to manifest the blessings which are legally ours, which are ours in Christ. Verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." We are righteous, we are justified, we are sanctified, we are redeemed, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace, favour did much more abound." And we're going to look at verse 21. It says that as sin have reigned unto death. See, sin was reigning unto death Even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have an understanding of what God has done for us through Christ. We can claim what is rightfully ours and come into agreement with God by saying what God's word says. In Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Listen, you're going to have what you say. That's why we need to say what we want and not what we see. We need to say what God's word says about our situation, about our health. God says you're healed. God says you're prosperous. God says you're blessed. God says you have favor. See, God has given us everything. And the way we appropriate it is by faith. And that comes by hearing this word, hearing it out of your own mouth, also hearing it preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got a great God, we got a great Lord and Savior, and we got a fantastic, powerful word of God, which goes to work for you when you say it. See, we need to release God's word into the atmosphere to change the situations, to back off the forces of darkness. Because the word of God is living energy and power. The word of God is spirit and life, is truth. Psalms 107, verse 2 says this, let the redeemed, and we are redeemed, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. My gosh, we've been brought back from the hand of the enemy. We're under, no longer under the authority of Satan. He's been defeated, okay? The powers of darkness have been defeated. We are the children of light. We are sons of God with power. We're seated at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. We just need to really build our hearts with these truths of what is ours and what's been done. So we choose what we're going to put in our hearts and say with our mouth. If you want to look at the doctor's report and keep saying that, then you keep saying that. It's your free will choice, because God has given us all the free will choice, and we decide. We want to say what the world's saying about the finances, the conditions and situations, then you come into agreement with that, then you can have what you're saying. But if we say what God says, then we are going to start manifesting forth God's power in our lives, that everyone's going to see where we're witnesses of the truth, we're witnesses of what Jesus Christ has accomplished and made available. And God's rising us up, and this is the greatest year. This theme for this year for our fellowship is the just shall live by faith. It should be the theme for every believer. Okay, the just shall live by faith. And I believe every word that I've spoken to here tonight with you. See, we choose to come into agreement either with the doctor's report or God's report. And we choose to hearken unto the voice of God, God's word, or the voice of the world. What we hear, what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch. The choice is ours. Every day we have that choice, and we need to practice God's word so much in our lives that our choices are always God first, that we seek him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that we need will be added to us, will come into manifestation. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, some great records here, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, God's saying, like Paul said, by God is saying, don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How can you look at the things which are not seen? By through the eyes of faith, right? Through the eyes of faith, through the eyes, it's already ours and it's already accomplished. What God says, it's done. See, once God decrees a thing, it's going to be done. Once God says it, it's going to be done. For the things which are seen, the things which you see now are temporal. They're subject to change, right? So your situation, if it's bad right now, it's subject to change. And when you put the word of God to work through the believing of your heart and saying it out of your mouth, believing that you what you say, you're going to start to change your situation by the word of God, through the power of God of Christ in God in Christ in you. Okay, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're everlasting. See, the things in this world, they're going to go. They're subject to change and they're going to vanish. But the things which are spiritual, God's things, they're eternal. They're everlasting. So the things we see in this world, they're temporary. and are subject to change, but God's promises, God's provision are eternal. So we need to get our eyes off our problems and onto the solution, which are the promises of God for today, and we need to say them. So what you observe is very important. What you look at is very important. What you're taking into your mind, you know, are you repeating the words of this world, you know, through what the television says, what the news says, what the man down the road is saying, what this TV program's promoting, or what this political group is promoting? We don't want to come into agreement with what they're saying. We come into agreement with what the Word of God says. And if someone is saying what the Word of God says, then come into agreement with them, because you ain't going to lose. You're going to get blessed. Romans 15:4 says, "So whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." And to finish off what I'm sharing here, I know I've gone on a little bit longer this time, but we just need to take the time and just look at these things in a simple way. We don't need to make it complicated with this Greek word or this Hebrew word. We just need to understand what it's saying to us, and God gives us that understanding when we go with a humble heart to God, and he shows us the simplicity of his word. And we know that all the promises of Abraham have come to us. And we can claim these promises, especially these in Deuteronomy 28. And I want to read the blessings here of Deuteronomy 28:1. And you can make this your confession, because I'm certainly doing it. And I'm seeing things change pretty quick here, because the Word of God runneth swiftly. It's quick, it's powerful. And we'll start in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, "And it shall come to pass." And there's some key things in this verse here. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently." So number one, we need to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So God wants us to really listen to what he's showing us, what he's showing us from his scriptures, and also what he's working in our hearts to do. God wants us to listen to his voice today. And it says that we hearken diligently unto his voice. Two, observe. We need to observe what's being said to us, and to do, and we observe so that we can do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations. And it's the same today, the same principles applies. When we listen to God, when we're obedient to the voice of his word, when we do what he says, he sets us on high, he blesses us, and people know that we're blessed, and people know that God's with us because of what we do, or what we say, and what we're manifesting. Deuteronomy 28:2 says, "And all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee." Do you want the blessings of God to come on thee, and overtake thee? Well, I certainly do. But there's a condition. It says, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And it's the same today. We need to do what God's saying for us to do. He shows us to say what he says. He shows us to come into agreement with who we are in Christ and what we have, and to live unto him, to seek him first, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbour as ourself. See, there's a lot of hindrances to healing as well. And maybe we'll cover that another time, not tonight. But I'm looking at these great promises which are ours, and we can make this our confession. So we're going to look at the blessings, and it starts in verse 3. Well, those first 1 and 2 is blessings there. So it says in verse 3, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city." When you've got God first, when you're hearkening diligently unto his voice, you're observing to do it, it says, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city." You're going to be good in business. You know, you're going to be good in your workplace, in what you're doing. The people that you're meeting that are outside of your family unit. And it says, "And blessed shalt thou be in the field." You know, if you're working in farming, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be prosperous. It's just really great. This is what God makes available to us when we put him first, when we observe to do, when we got his word in our heart. And the word is in our heart and it's in our mouth. We just need to give it a release with some faith, with no doubts. Verse 4 says, "Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body." See, this is where your healing comes, guys. It starts to manifest. "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flock of thy sheep. God is just going to bless everything. Verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're going to be blessed by God. You're going to be happy. You're going to be provided for. You're going to manifest his blessings. Okay, you're going to get favor in the sight of God and man. Verse 7 says, the Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. God's got your back covered. He's got you protected. Verse 8, the Lord shall command. See, God shall command. He's already commanded it. And when we activate it by coming into agreement with God, then these blessings are released to us. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand to do. Whatever you put your hand to do, you're going to get blessed by God. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. See, it's God that gives us the power to get wealth. And he gives us the understanding how to do that. Not just wealth, but in our bodies, in our relationships, in our life and living. Verse 9 says, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And we just need to be led by the Spirit of God today. We need to do the things that are pleasing in his sight, and we do it unto God. Verse 10 says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called blessed by the name of the Lord. You're going to be that witness, and they shall be afraid of thee. They ain't going to mess about with you, because they know that God's your daddy, and they know that great things happen in your life. They don't know how it's happening. You know, there must be something really special about this man or this woman here, but it's because you love God and you're putting him first and you're saying what he says. Verse 11 says, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. He wants you to be prosperous, okay, in the fruit of thy body. He's going to make you plenteous in goods and in the fruit of your body. You're going to be prosperous in your body. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be strong. You're going to have vitality and life and energy. And in the fruit of thy cattle. Even your, if you haven't got cattle, if you've got dogs and cats, they're going to be blessed and healthy. And in the fruit of thy ground. Wherever you put your ground is yours, and it's going to be fruitful. In the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord, verse 12, shall open unto thee his good treasures. Okay, those treasures could be spiritual as well as physical, right? Okay, we want the treasures of God, the knowledge of the Holy. We want what he wants us to understand, which he's already given to us in Christ. We've got the spirit of revelation and the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The heavens to give them rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. See, we're going to be the lender, not the borrower. That's where God wants us. That's God's plan and heart for us today. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You're not going to be in slavery. If you're the tail, you're in slavery. God will make you the leader, the head, the one that's a great example that people look to. And people will follow you. Okay, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be belief, if, conditional, that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do. And when we do observe to do what God wants us to do, we get blessed. When we come into agreement with God's word, we get blessed. When we're agreeing in God's word in our actions, we get blessed. When we agree with God's word in our confession, we get blessed. And when we're saying what he says, we get blessed. And verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And then a lot of people don't carry on, but I want to carry on, and I want to look at the curses, because those blessings are activated when we come into agreement with God and we observe to do what he wants us to do. When we serve who we are in Christ, when we serve what's been made available to us, and we start to come into agreement, when we're humble and meek in heart and do these things unto him, then he's going to bless us. Those blessings are activated into our life, just like the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is activated when we say what God says, when we come into agreement with the word. We don't want the law of sin and death to be activated, because we've been brought from that. Okay? And this is where the law of sin and death, all these curses are within that as well. And we look at Deuteronomy 28:50 and says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all the commandments, if you're not going to listen, and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And I'm just reading this for an example. As I said, you know, the Old Testament is for our sample, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. See, what are we activating in our life? We don't want to activate these curses by doing our own thing. But when we're humble unto God and we're in agreement with his word, then those blessings are activated. So when we don't listen, it says, "All these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Verse 16, "Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt be in thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and thy flocks of thy sheep." Verse 19, "Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when I goest out." That's the opposite. When we do our own thing, then we activate the wrong things in our life. We activate the adversary to bring his crap onto us. But when we're humble and meek, when we do what God says, when we observe to do from a pure heart, knowing that we're sons of God, that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and we're saying so, and we're activating that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and all the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen. When we come into agreement and say what God says, then all these blessings that are in Christ become ours, and they start to manifest and overflow in our life. So this is what I wanted to share. I pray it blessed you, and that you'll just go over this again, because it was a little bit longer than I anticipated doing. But be blessed, be strong. You are healed. You are delivered. Whatever you need right now, you're healed. Just receive this right now. I don't even have to tell you what your problem is. God knows it, and I'm telling you it's healed. Right? Sickness leave. Disease leave. You got no right to be on this person that's listening right now. Lack, poverty, get out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, because the blessings of God are chasing this person down, because they're humble and meek in heart and listening to God and saying what he says. So be blessed, and thank you for listening.